888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Good evening and welcome to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program. My name is Roy Avila and I will be your host for today. Michael Shaw is out of town, American Policy Center, and I'm so glad to be able to talk to him. And I was listening to the radio today and they were talking about property owners in Texas who live on the beach. They're beachfront property owners, and I'm sure they've lived there for quite a while, and what's going to happen now is they're going to take their homes because they live on the beach. Some government agency designated the beachfront as general land property, and so they're asking these people to move. And they're going to give these beachfront property owners in Texas maybe the ability to get $40,000 for their homes. How ridiculous. Imagine yourself. You know, you've gotten a position to be able to buy yourself a beautiful home at the beach, and one day the government comes in and says, guess what? That belongs to us. And your house might be worth $1 million or so, but we're going to give you 40. Welcome our guest, Tom DeWeese. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Roy, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you hear that on the radio today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I was just, you know, driving along, and it was a real short thing on the radio about how these beachfront owners in Texas, you know, who knows how long they've lived there, but some organization decided that their property was general public property, and no matter how long you've lived there, they're now going to ask you to leave, and you'll be lucky if you walk away with $40,000.
Yeah, that's what's happening all over the country. You know, go back to the New London, Connecticut situation where the Kello case, you know, which was a Supreme Court decision last year that said local communities can take people's property by eminent domain simply because they can get more taxes out of the property if they do something else with it. Just came out this week that Suzette Kello and one other neighbor are the last two holdouts to to still have their property there. And the governor tried to intervene, the governor of Connecticut, and said that let the people have their deeds. Let them, because they took their deeds away from them. Let them have their property and let them have the right to will it to their families when they die. And if they want to sell the property, then give the community the first dibs on selling it or to buy it. And the city council said, "Hey, governor, get out of here. We've got a Supreme Court decision that says we can take this property, and that's exactly what we're going to do."
Oh, boy.
And they're coming right for it. They're charging them rent for their own property because they're living in it. So, yeah, this is what's going on all over the country.
That's stranger than the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court said it was okay. 5-4. Absolutely, absolutely an abomination.
Which brings us to the point of our discussion tonight. Do you Americans really understand the threat that we are facing? You know, I've been at this a little bit, but you know, you've been at it for 10 years plus, and
40 almost.
I'll try to give you a break. But you know, I mean, the more you know, when I have discussions with people, and I kind of breach the conversation, I don't get that look of, well, no, you're crazy. I get that look of, yeah, you know, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I'm really kind of too busy to want to get into it.
Yeah, that's the average response. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about this politics stuff. Gee, leave me alone. And we do get that a lot. One of the most painful things that I ever do is watch Jay Leno when he does the jaywalking bit, you know, where he goes around and asks people just common questions, and they don't know the answers to them. The frightening thing is I know the answer to every one of those questions when they ask them. But,
and you're trying to help, please, come on!
It's a frightening thing that the American people just don't know anything about what's going on in this country. Recently I did a poll, survey of my own supporters for the American Policy Center.
Very, very informed people.
I would think so. I mean, I get my newsletters. We send them letters all the time with petitions and lots of information.
All the time.
Keep coming, yeah.
Letters, notes, all kinds of things.
And the reason that they're on my list is because that they are supporters of what we do. They've written a check. They have contacted us and said, yeah, we agree with what you're saying, and we like what you're saying. So when I put this survey together, there's a couple different questions we asked. One was, we listed various issues in... And we asked them to put them in a priority of what they thought were the most important issues. And then there were some other questions going into a little bit more detail on some of them. For example,
let's start at the beginning. You asked the readers what was the most important thing that they thought that you and the folks at the American Policy Center should do, and what was the first thing that came up?
Well, the number one issue was getting us out of the United Nations, and that's no surprise to me. That's what the overwhelming majority of the responders listed that
and the,
as a reason.
The American Sovereignty Restoration Act.
Yeah. The H.R. 1146, which is Ron Paul's bill to get us out of the United Nations. We've been pounding on that issue for about...
Just for those folks who happen to be following us on the radio, and wondering, what? What is that? You know, we want to make sure that they know that we're serious and there are serious things going on here. Because, we talk with Tom and people like that. I keep, when I'm driving around during the day, you guys pop into my head, you and Michael Shaw and all you guys. And I keep thinking, I wonder if, the founding fathers and Paul Revere and all these people, felt the same way. They're running around going, stuff is happening! Do something! And people are going, I'm a little busy right now. Let me get back with you.
Yeah. It just diverting a moment there to what you just said. During the revolution, those who were perpetrating the revolution against England, they were a vast minority in this country. And there were a full third of the American population that supported the king, and there was another third who didn't know anything about it and don't bother me. So, not a whole lot has changed. Sam Adams was a rabble-rouser, and he was able to take public opinion and turn it the way he wanted to, and he did. But it's still just a very small minority of people at the beginning of the revolution who even cared, thought these guys were crazy. So, we're not in bad company here.
Okay, back to your survey.
So the American Sovereignty Restoration Act, H.R. 1146, is a bill that Congressman Ron Paul has been introducing into the Congress. I think this is the fourth Congress he's introduced it into. And we have generated over 1 million petitions in support of this this bill. In fact, back in 2000, the American Policy Center sponsored a news conference on Capitol Hill at the time of the UN's Millennium Summit. And we were trying to draw attention to what they were going to do there. And Ron Paul and Congresswoman Helen Chenoweth both spoke at our conference, and the backdrop to our conference, news conference, which was on C-SPAN, and we had a lot of Washington media there, the backdrop to it were four skids of petitions. Over 500,000 petitions at the time were behind us, which after the conference was over, we took them down and personally delivered them to House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And, you know, these were people saying, we want this bill passed. And since that time, we've put in another 500,000 over the time. And so it's over 1 million that we've delivered. Do you know, Roy, that at this moment, I have yet to even hear an acknowledgement from Dennis Hastert that he's gotten these? I blocked his doorway with four skids of these things, and he didn't even say, get them out of my way. He didn't even acknowledge that bill. But what Ron Paul has done with the bill is he's never gotten a hearing on it. They put it in a committee routinely, and the committee chairman sits on it and does absolutely nothing with it. There's no hearings on it. There's no debate. There's no discussion. But every Congress, Ron Paul takes the bill and he attaches it as an amendment to the U.N. appropriations bill, where they're voting on how many dollars we're going to spend in the U.N.
Year or mine.
Yep.
Dollars.
So the first time he did it, he, I don't remember the exact figures, but he got about 35 or 40 votes for the amendment, which is H.R. 1146, to get us out of the United Nations. And this bill calls for not only just getting us out of the United Nations, it calls for us not giving them another dime, it calls for us to not be involved in any part of the U.N., including UNESCO or any of its other little arms that it has. And the part I like the best is it also says the U.N. has to get out of the United States, not vacate its headquarters in New York City and get out. So, I mean, this is a complete bill. But anyway, he introduces it as an amendment. Got about 35 or 40 votes the first time. The second time he did it, got a 50 or so votes. The last time he did it, he got close to 85 votes for the bill. So it's gaining support steadily as the years go by. Won't be long before he's got a quarter of the Congress. And yet, with that kind of support, he can't even get a hearing on it.
Oh.
So, you know. But
well, there's money in there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, the majority of Congress, we have a file of letters at the office. I get them from whether I've written to congressmen on the issue or my supporters have written to Congress, and they'll send me a copy of the letter that they get back from the congressman. So we have a file of these responses that we get back from congressmen. The title of the file in the office is the Stupid Congressman File. Because the idiocy of what they say, most of them, I think there is one staffer on all of Capitol Hill who has written the response letter to H.R. 1146 for every congressman. They all say, well, we appreciate your information on and your opinions on the United Nations, but we feel that we need to be a part of this organization, otherwise we'll lose our world leadership. On and on and on, yada, yada, yada. This is the attitude, and just the idea of us getting out of this mess is just appalling to them, and we would just be isolated in the world. And so we did a survey, and I wasn't surprised that the majority of the respondents, overwhelming majority, chose getting us out of the United Nations as the number one priority that they thought the American Policy Center should be working on.
And that's what we're looking for, is what the American Sovereignty Restoration Act does, not reform.
No, it gets us completely out. And that was the other question that we asked them, was about reform. We hear a lot of talk today about the United Nations. Finally, a majority of people in this country now have a negative view of the United Nations. That wasn't true 10 years ago, even 5 years ago.
Right.
But after the absolute craziness that goes on there, all the scandals, the oil for food scandals, and the fact that they put the Human Rights Committee has people like Cuba and all these terrorist countries on there, and this is the human rights one. That sort of thing, then the American people are saying, this place is nuts. So those who support the UN now have to acknowledge that they've got a PR problem. And so they rush to do something about it. So they put forth this idea that we will reform the UN. And even Jesse Helms got involved in this issue and went in and addressed the UN. As you people have to reform, and you have to. And what, you know, what Jesse Helms meant by that, and what the overwhelming majority of Americans mean by it, is reform means that get rid of all the bloated budgets, get rid of all the worthless bureaucrats, be more efficient, and you know, get rid of all these scandals. But I have read the UN documents that what they mean by reform is global governance.
Right.
The UN gets more power.
Let us do what we do better.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, let's put this whole plan together where the UN, you know, we keep telling people that the UN plans call for international or global taxation, that it calls, of course, they've already got an international criminal court, and they want an international army. Now, the United Nations is not a government. It's a club. It has members. The members pay dues. And but what they want to do is create a government. There are three things that you need to create a government: the power to tax, the power to enforce your will, and the power to hold court. Those are the three parts of government. And this is what the United Nations is pushing for. It wants the power to tax, and moving very rapidly on that. It already has its court, and it's working to get its army. And once it's got those, then there is no way that anybody could oppose what the UN wants to do. If it has the power to tax internationally, and it's got thousands of schemes to do that, you know, they want to put taxes on the internet. They want to put taxes on airplane travel. They want to. There's a tax called the Colban tax that they want to tax just slightly every single international monetary transaction.
Cool.
You know, this would literally put billions of dollars in their pocket
instantly.
And actually, it goes up into the trillions. And if they get that one power, let alone all the rest of them, then they don't need us anymore paying them dues. They don't. The only hold any country has today over the United Nations is that it can withhold its dues, particularly the United States, which is over 25 cents or 25%. And they
wait. Say that again.
We are paying over 25% of the UN's budget ourselves.
And how much juice? What? How much voting power do we have?
One vote. We have one vote in the United Nations. We have the same size vote as Tahiti. That's it. And that doesn't count.
Hello, America.
That doesn't count all the money that we put into the peacekeeping forces or any UNESCO programs or anything else that that we put money into, which is considerable. And we are 25% of the budget of the United Nations to start with, and we have one vote.
And they don't appear to be friendly towards us.
They are not. They absolutely, every time they try to bring up major policy issues, for example, the Kyoto Accord, which is, you know, they talk about the global warming program. And, we can talk about this on the other side.
Yeah, here comes the music. Oh, yeah, good. Yep. Yes. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Tom DeWeese.
Policies, procedures, and laws enacted by local government and non-government organizations in the name of diversity, community, and Earth are diminishing individual liberty, degrading ecology, and threatening human life and happiness in towns across the nation. You've likely already experienced some of the consequences of policies that are approaching full implementation, with little public discourse or voter input. Have you experienced any of the following? Restricted freedom of mobility as you sit for hours in gridlock traffic. Mounting limitations on, or even loss of, your private property. an engineered housing crisis that you're being told must be solved with your money, by those who caused it. Loss of parental authority to a government education system that seems to emphasize social indoctrination over education. Transitioning of water resources to regional control by non-elected bureaucrats with subsequent engineered shortages. Heavy influence of international and non-government organizations over local policy, at the expense of representative democracy. You're not alone in recognizing these and other symptoms of our diminishing freedoms. The adverse consequences of collectivist policies and laws enacted by local government bodies are affecting almost every citizen in your town. Many have noticed and are ready to act to advance individual liberty, family autonomy, a vibrant ecology, and a strong economy. They're doing this by turning their individual initiative into local action for national impact. To find out how you can join others to advance freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. That's freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. After spearheading efforts to implement the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda in Santa Cruz, California, Congressman Sam Farr wrote,
"I am writing to congratulate you, the Advisory Board, and the Action Santa Cruz County Coalition for completing the local Agenda 21 Action Plan."
Congressman Sam Farr then wrote,
"The local Agenda 21 Action Plan not only has local significance, it also will have regional and national impacts. As you know, the President's Council on Sustainable Development is beginning Phase 3 of its work, with an emphasis on sustainable communities."
Sam Farr continued,
"I have been spearheading a similar effort to develop a process of sustainable development planning for the entire region."
So why does Sam Farr now say he's never heard of United Nations Agenda 21?
Yes, Congressman Farr, I'd like your my name's Daniel Beckett. I'd like your comments on the United Nations Agenda 21 program that you're implementing here. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you endorsed it, sir. I have your paperwork.
United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. If there's nothing to hide, why does Sam now deny it? This has been a public service question posed by Freedom 21 Santa Cruz at freedom21santacruz.net, inviting you to advance the cause of freedom in the 21st century. For more information about how you can advance the cause of freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Welcome back to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program. We are talking with one of our top freedom fighters in America, Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. And, you know, just like in those spots, believe it or not, the UN agenda continues to push forward, whether it's property, education, medicine. I mean, it is just incredible, you know, to know all the parts of our lives where the UN agenda is involved.
It is involved in every aspect of our lives. There is nothing that it doesn't covet about our lives and want to control. And of course, Agenda 21 is the number one blueprint for it to do that. And you know, we're talking about UN reform, and you know, so many people think that it just means to get rid of its bloated budgets and make it more efficient so that it can take its place to be, you know, to its destiny to you know, be a tool for peace. And it's just not that. It is, they, you know, when you read these documents, when you see what their plans are, what they want to do, which is what I do 24 hours a day. I work with people who read these documents. I have to read them. It's just the most disgusting work, and then to have people say, well, no, they're just like the Sam Farr spot. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You people are a bunch of crazy radicals. And I keep saying, you know, they say, well, you know, you're all involved in these conspiracy theories. You know, I didn't write this stuff. I'm just the one rude enough to point out that you did. That makes it a conspiracy theory? it's just an amazing thing. Anyway, we were talking about this survey that we did. I have written about these things ad nauseum. I sometimes I'll say, do I have to write another article about the United Nations?
Yes.
I can't do it. I've said it all. But, you know, new things come up or new people who've never heard it, and you got to say it. Well, anyway, so when I did this survey, of course, I was not surprised that the majority of my supporters said get us out, you know, our project should be get us out of the UN. But what I was really shocked by was that a great number, in fact, a majority of the people responding to the survey said that they believe that UN reform means ending UN efficiency and scandals so that the UN can fulfill its destiny as a peace tool for peace. And so, after all I've said, and my people aren't paying attention. They aren't getting it. Because I believe that the worst thing that can happen for our liberty is for the UN to get efficient.
Right.
That's the worst thing that can happen. I like it when they're in gridlock. I like it when the Congress is in gridlock. It gives us breathing room. The proper answer to the question is that reform of the UN actually means to strengthen and empower the UN into a position of global governance. That is what they want. And Kofi Annan was very quick to jump on this reform issue. Yes, we're going to reform the UN. Why do you think he's quick to jump on it? Because that's what he means.
I'm hearing you talk, and it just reminds me of the whole reform the UN. It sounds like reform the Endangered Species Act. It's still bad. Let's just get out.
Yes. And reform of the Endangered Species Act now means update and strengthen. The worst piece of legislation ever to come out of the United States Congress, the one that has ripped more people out of their homes, their property, their jobs, their livelihood, their hopes, their dreams. This is a tool for Congress and for a political agenda by the environmentalists to take people's property. Hasn't done a single thing.
So reform, folks, is not a good thing.
Yeah, it is not a good thing. When something is bad to begin with, when it's rotten at the core, you can't fix it. You got to kill it.
Amen.
And these are two major issues. The United Nations, the Endangered Species Act, going all night about them. That's the bottom line. They stink. They're a wrong idea to begin with. Never should have been done. This country had it right back in after World War One, when we refused to join the League of Nations. We are now condemned worldwide for being the reason World War II started, because we refused to get involved in the League of Nations, which had exactly the same goal as the United Nations. Now you can see why the United States said no to it back then, because we said yes to the United Nations. Now look, is there any more we have to say about it? This is where it was headed in the first place. We ignored the wisdom of Robert Taft and others back then to say no. And so now we said yes, and now here we are. So anyway, that's the United Nations issue.
Talk about the Private Property Protection Act and why.
Why the...
Private property is, you know, or the government's assault on private property is that the greatest threat to our liberty.
Yeah, this is... back to what we started talking about right at the very beginning on the eminent domain issue. The fact of the matter is, private property is the single most important issue, or most important right that we have.
And you know, when I talk to people, they don't really get that. You know, they understand a little bit about, you know, the United Nations. They understand about a little bit about, you know, the sustainable development and some of those kinds of things. But when you talk about how important private property is, you know, for me to support you in you know, doing what you want to do with your private property, people get a little iffy on that.
When I speak, sometimes I'll ask people, "What do you think the most important right is?" And depending on the audience, I mean, I will get mostly right to freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And of course, right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment, right to religious freedom. You know, this is what I get from people. What I try to point out to them is, you can't have the right to freedom of speech if you can't stand on your own property and say what you're going to say.
Amen.
If you're standing on somebody else's property or somebody else controls that property, particularly the government, then they can control what you have to say. If they can control your private property, guns are property. And now they can be confiscated because they're property. If they can confiscate property, like the Supreme Court said you can do under eminent domain, then they can confiscate your right to own a gun. So, right, and John Adams, the founding father, said over and over and over again that the right to own and control private property is the most important right, is the foundation of freedom. The other thing that goes along with this is that the only way that freedom can exist is if you have a strong middle class. If you don't have a middle class, then you've got a ruling elite rich, and you've got an ever-growing poor population. It is the middle class that stands up for freedom. The middle class are the ones who create the jobs by creating small businesses. Most of the people in this country work for small businesses, not major corporations. And you know, if you've got a strong middle class, then you've got a strong foundation for freedom. And property is the root of the middle class. It is owning private property, owning your own home. The way most businessmen, middle-class businessmen, get the capital to start their businesses is by getting a second mortgage on their property, using the value of the property. And so this is the root of freedom, because, you know, if without the middle class, you have no freedom. And what is happening now is, with the use of eminent domain, the implementation of sustainable development, you are getting... The middle class is really beginning to diminish. That affects the economy, and you can see it happening. You have the poor are beginning to expand in numbers, and the rich are getting farther and farther away. They're getting richer and richer, and the middle class is diminishing. And that's what's happening in this country. It is the middle class, it is the right to own and control private property that made the United States of America the nation that led the world in development, in the standard of living, you know, and you see this beginning to diminish. The reason that Mexico has so much trouble, and you've got so many poor people who are now trying to run across the border, is because you really do not have the right in Mexico to own private property. They do everything in their power in that country to kill the middle class and not allow it to expand. And so the poor are poorer and the rich are richer. You can own a deed to private property for a number of years. The government will let you have it, something like 20 years, something like that. But then it's not yours in the end. It reverts back to the government. This is the reason they have this problem. It is the reason why across the globe you have people so poor, because dictatorship after dictatorship refuses to allow the people to own and control their own private property. Therefore, they take all of that money, that wealth that would be there because you own the property and you can use it to reinvest in your own hopes and dreams, which would create a stronger middle class, which would create freedom. That is denied across the globe. Now you have, as a solution, because now we have all this poor, poverty, and then the horrible standard of living that comes with it, and the damaged environment that comes with it. All of those things come with people being in poverty. So the solution to all of this by all these great minds is to give us more top-down government to control, which is what created the problem in the first place. The reason we have poverty, the reason that we have environmental problems, the reason that we have overpopulation is because of bad government. Simple, bottom line, that's it. They refuse to allow a middle class to grow. They refuse to allow the right to own and control private property. And the Supreme Court's decision on the eminent domain ruling in the Kelo case literally goes right to the heart of that, and the only result of that can ever be is that they are impoverishing this nation and heading us down the road to a third world country.
When you talked about Mexico allowing people to hold a deed to property, reminded me of what I'm hearing now with the whole sustainable development, smart growth, public-private property, public-private partnerships, and housing. They're building these, quote, affordable housing units, and people buy them. Well, people think they're buying them, but all they're doing is getting a deed, similar to what you said happens in Mexico.
Sure. And exactly right. And they're bringing this here, and more and more and more. And we're talking about people being asleep on all this. What happens is they're appealing to people that, well, you can get this low housing at a reasonable cost, and people that are hurting people into these things, they don't own anything. They can't get any wealth out of it. They can't get their hopes and dreams and move forward the way the middle class should, because it's not middle class. This is housing the poor. And if you're not poor now, you will be. There's nothing to build on. And so that's the root of it, and that's what sustainable development is. This is the main issue here, Roy. And I know you guys talk about this week after week after week on sustainable development, but what's happening here is the United States of America was set up differently than any other nation on earth. All the rest of the world still has either kings, queens, potentates, dictators, people who control property, control the rights of the people, and dictate what those rights will be. In the United States of America, our founding fathers searched the world for the right way that government should be. That government is limited. It should be afraid of the people, not the other way around. That's the way it was created.
And I have to jump in there and say, we are not a democracy.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic. And the reason we are a republic is because the right of one is protected. Not, I have buttons and posters in the office that say democracy or three wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch. And that's exactly right. Majority rule isn't the answer. The ability for one individual to, whether if he, like Suzette Kelo is sitting there in her home saying you can't have it, and the government should be supporting her in that. Instead, the majority rules take it away. The majority rules is a lynch mob. And you know, that's the difference, the vast difference. What you have across the world now are all these social democracies. The social democracies all have one thing in common. They have constitutions or guiding principles that say, we will tell you what your rights are. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States go hand in hand. The Declaration lays the groundwork. The Constitution says this is how it will be done. And that says government will be controlled and the people will decide and their own lives. The difference to that is the UN's Declaration of Human Rights, which says these are your rights. These are what your rights are, what they should be. Here they are. What happens with that? Get a new change of government who decides, well, I don't like people having those rights. We're going to give them these rights. Your rights are fluid. They're all over. You have no rights. You are just a peon in the game. And that's the difference between the United States of America and all the rest of the world. And sustainable development coming in to this country out of Agenda 21, out of the United Nations, out of people who live in these, who come from these other countries, who believe in the UN Declaration of Human Rights over the Declaration of Independence, are enforcing on the United States these ideas and turning our government away from what Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and George Washington gave us, and turning it into really the tactics of Stalin. And that's the difference here. And this is why we stand up against all of this. This is why we say this is wrong. What we're defending are those founding principles of the United States, and what we're trying to keep out are all of the policies that have made the rest of the world bankrupt to begin with. And what's going to happen when we implement them in the United States? We, too, are going to be bankrupt. And what I don't understand, you know, because, you know, I see the wisdom of the Founding Fathers and why. It's economic reasons. It's not just because I'm spouting out patriotic slogans.
Oh, I know.
But it's, I see where this leads. And I always say to myself, and I say to others, what are these guys counting on when they have taken the greatest engine in the world to create wealth, to create a standard of living, to create people being able to live their lives as they choose? When they take that engine and they destroy it, what are they counting on for themselves? They've got to eat. They need electricity. They need a place to be. Eventually, it all dies. And I guess they just hope that it'll hold out. You know, they can loot it for as long as they're alive and not worry about it later on. So, you know.
Oh, give me chills there. But, you know, in your latest writing, you were surprised at how sustainable development is just a blip on the radar screen.
It's not even that. I mean, like, just a very, very few people. Here are all my responders. And sustainable development is one of the major issues that I write about constantly. So my supporters ought to know what it is. But here's the list. Well, we got to get out of the United Nations, but I don't know what a sustainable development thing is. And as I said in the article, people, you're not paying attention here. It's, you know, if you fear the United Nations and if you think that we've got to get out of there, it's a danger to us. Sustainable development is the danger that you fear. But they're not putting this together. You have got to put this together. You can't. A lot of people oppose the United Nations on emotional issues that have no effect on our sovereignty and our freedom whatsoever. They don't like the fact that the UN is able to have our soldiers wear UN uniforms. They don't like that.
Right.
They don't like the fact that UN generals can dictate to our soldiers what to do. These sorts of things. I don't like it either, and I certainly don't like to see that, but it doesn't affect our freedom. Sustainable development does. And there's an awful lot of organizations out there that are opposing the United Nations on those reasons, who absolutely know nothing whatsoever about sustainable development, aren't saying anything about it, but they're turning people against, which is good. They're turning people against the UN for these other reasons, but that is just silliness versus what the real problem is, and people aren't making that connection, and that's what frightens me.
And it is a huge tool for every government group all over the country.
Yeah, it is. And it's so nice for the politicians. They can hide behind these UN policies. And well, it wasn't me that did it. You know, not me. The UN did it.
Right.
You know, it's not me. How nice.
And you know, the thing that always, you know, amazes me is, you know, they package it so well. You know, people are, oh yeah, well, you know, that's sustainable development. We need that, so we got to sustain ourselves.
Yeah, it's. At this point, you can't even have a discussion about it with local politicians and so forth. And we're creating tools, you know, like our DVD that tells what it is, goes to the root of it, and so forth. You can hand that to a politician. In Freedom 21 Santa Cruz has put together the booklet about what sustainable development is for elected officials and so forth. But the bottom line is, they don't read it. They don't watch the DVD. Don't want to know anything about it. The minute they're elected into office, the first thing that is done is they are sent. If it's a mayor, he becomes a part of the U.S. Mayor's Conference. If he is a city councilman, he becomes a part of the National League of City Councilmen. If any government bureaucrats become part of the National League of Cities or the county commissioners. They all have these national organizations.
Yeah, and they're swept off to some nice little conference where they're trained.
And somebody comes up and gives a presentation and says, this is the policy that we want to implement, and the reasons for it are, you know, all the people will will be taken care of, and we're going to control the development in our community, and we're going to solve all the problems with the highways and all these, and they learn it there. Nobody's standing up there saying, you know, our government wasn't set up this way. Our government was set up so that you people back home were in control, that the city council and the county commissioners and the mayors were the most powerful form of government, and the congressmen and the state governments and so forth were less. And instead, they're told, well, the federal government is implementing this policy, and this is what's going to come down to your community, and you need to do this. And nobody ever questions it. They don't stand up to it. If they do, they get rolled. And it's just a fact. And along comes an idiot like Tom DeWeese, who says, wait a minute, this is wrong. They're not listening. And the other thing is the news media, which doesn't get it at all. The most ignorant, lazy people in this country are the national and, well, even local news media. They don't question anything. What they do is they hook up with the local government official that handles their beat, whether it's a school board or city council or what have you. And that's where they get all their news.
Well, they say, you know what, we're going to teach you elected official, and your local chamber of commerce, how to use the National Heritage Area to better tourism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that.
This is an issue that is affecting the whole country now. It's a brand new kind of land grab. It's not all that new, but it's just starting to come in the forefront. And I've talked to Congressman about this, National Heritage Areas. Now, you've heard about World Heritage Sites, which come out of the United Nations. Well, this is yet something different. It's sold by saying that it's something historic has happened in this area, and we just want to honor that, and we can support your local tourism and help build that industry, and just make something unique out of your community. You know, something unique happened there. We're going to honor it. For example, there is a bill right now in Congress for a thing called the Hallowed Ground, Journey Through Hallowed Ground Heritage Area. This heritage area reaches from Thomas Jefferson's home in Monticello, in Southern Virginia, Charlottesville, all the way to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And in this area, there's like six presidential homes. Most of the Civil War was fought there. And I might also add, my house is right in the middle of it.
Oh, boy.
And we went to several people who were going to sponsor this. We were told, well, no, this is just to honor that area. All we're doing is helping the local chambers of commerce and so forth. And we said, well, you know, Congressman, if that's what you want to do, fine. Put up a plaque, honor it, whatever. But don't put this funding in it, because what they do is they put in funding by the millions of dollars. They call it seed money, and the idea is always that eventually the heritage area will fund itself.
Yeah, right.
Hasn't happened yet, ever in the history of them.
Right.
What they do is they run it through the National Park Service. The National Park Service, first of all, is so overburdened with all the properties it's grabbed over the years that it can't possibly run those properties, and most of them are becoming in disrepair. The second thing is the National Park Service has proven that it is not a very good neighbor. It is nasty, angry. They come in and they take people's property. I can go on for the next hour talking about those things that they've done, but just suffice it to say they're not very good neighbors. And what happens here is a heritage area is set up, and they put a border around it. They say, this is the heritage area. Well, once you've put a border up, then rules and regulations that take place inside of that you can't get out of that. Now, this stupid bill that they have up now has all this private property language in it, private property protection language, saying you can opt out of it. How do I opt out in the middle of a border? And once that border is established, you're in. And now what happens is, it's not the heritage area specifically that is making these rules and regulations, but to comply inside, you have local city councils and county commissioners who begin to implement certain zoning things because they need to comply with the heritage area. So it's them doing it, not the heritage area. So the private property protection language in the Heritage Act doesn't mean anything because it doesn't control what these other communities are doing.
Well, we have a caller in the line who's been waiting very patiently.
Oh, sorry, I won't shut up.
But it's so good. You know, it's hard to break in on you. Mike from Santa Cruz, go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, hi. I want to ask a question of Tom, especially since you brought up the co-opting of local power through the mayor's council, et cetera. Our governor has proposed the elimination of counties here in California. And for a long time I scratched my head as to why he would do that. Well, it occurred to me that if they got rid of the counties, they get rid of the local sheriffs. And the sheriff's departments and the officer himself wield great power, as has been discussed on these programs in the past. And I wonder if you've got any insight about that.
Well,
thanks, Mike.
Your insight is I think correct. The counties are an entity, and they get rid of that, they'll just have some unelected board that runs that same area, which they probably already do anyway. And you're right, the sheriffs have the power, if they know it, if they understand it. They have the power to throw federal agents out. They have the power to...
listen to this, communities. Listen. This is really, really important.
Yeah, they do. They have the power to... those agents come in. The Forest Service, the Park Service, all these other agents that come in and try to impose federal law over or federal regulations over the community, the sheriff can say, get out of here. You know, the power, the sheriffs have the power right now to round up illegal aliens if they want. But federal government says, no, you can't do that. But they do have the power, and that wonderful sheriff down in Arizona is saying, watch this. He's doing it. And, they do have that power, but most of them don't realize it. But you're right, that's one of the things they want to get rid of. And it also, gets rid of the burden of having to run all those elections and maybe the possibility of somebody being a renegade in the whole thing. So, I'm not the expert on that whole issue. There's others who can talk more eloquently on it, but your insights are right.
Thanks, Mike, for your call. The great thing about having you on is you're such a wealth of information. You're so passionate, and it's just so great to have you on. The tough thing is the time just flies.
I know. I won't shut up.
No, that's okay. That's why we have you here. But I know I didn't want to let you get away without talking about the national ID card and those things.
Yeah. This was, of the survey, my greatest disappointment. The sustainable development wasn't even a blip on the radar screen. Neither were the issues of national ID cards and public education. In fact, 25% of my supporters said that they agree a national ID card is needed to protect us from terrorism. Man, have they been watching the wrong news channel and listening to the wrong politicians. And I've written volumes on this. And you want to have your ego exploded. No one's paying attention.
We're going to have to get you a helmet for Christmas so you won't have to start beating your head against the wall.
I mean, national ID cards have absolutely nothing to do with fighting terrorism. They are imposing on the American people these cards, which, by the way, within 2 years will be implemented, mandated by a law passed last year, and states are now scrambling to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
And they don't have the technology to do it, and so forth, and they're screaming bloody murder over it, but, deadlines are deadlines. All this does is tie up the American people, who haven't done anything wrong. Meanwhile, the borders are wide open.
Right.
because anybody can walk in. I read an article today that Canada now has a huge hole because we haven't been paying attention to that border. Terrorists can, there are lots of cells of terrorists in Canada, and they can just walk in and nobody will pay attention to them because we're all looking at the southern border. So, we aren't doing any of the things we need to do to really protect us from terrorism, while meanwhile, we are making the American people wear a ball and chain, where every single movement we make is watched over by the federal government. And you have to look at this practically. If you have to have this national ID card in order to get on an airplane, in order to buy a gun, in order to get any kind of government services, get a marriage license, anything in your life, and there's this huge data bank that all this information is put into, the medical care, your tax information, all of this, and then you want to tie all this together into one card that has your credit cards in it and your ATM card, and you have to show this card to get a job, and an employer can put it in his computer, and now I can see everything about you, all this stuff in there. And I just keep asking the same practical question. What happens if somebody makes a data entry mistake in that whole huge data bank?
Oh, yeah.
Gee, you think maybe that might happen once in a while?
Oh, sure. They'll come in and drag you away.
Go to buy a house, and if you don't believe this, I mean, go to buy a house and find out you've got some little mistake on your credit, that somebody put somebody else's credit information on your credit report, and you have to get that completely cleaned and before you can buy that house, before you can close on it. Well, if your entire life is like that, and there's a little blip on there, and in my case, pardon me for being paranoid, but what happens if somebody doesn't like me?
Yeah,
and they can put false information there, that I'm a felon or something. I get a speeding ticket. Next thing I know, I've got 45 cops in a helicopter standing there with Uzis aimed at me.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you're going to take me in for your
mental health screening, and whoop, put the straitjacket on and goodbye.
This is something, people, we don't want the federal government to have this kind of control over our lives. Funny how we've gotten this far in life without having it.
Yeah.
So just because we have the technology doesn't mean we need to use it. And the last thing that you want is to have the government have that kind of control. That doesn't make you safer. It doesn't make you any safer than being on an airplane where everybody's been strip searched before they got on and nobody's got a weapon. Because I'll tell you what, if everybody got on the plane naked, and a terrorist was trained in all kinds of jujitsu and all that kind of stuff, and you're not, he still is over you.
Right.
You know, so all he knows is that you're unarmed.
Yeah, right.
That's what he knows. The government strip searched you for him. And that doesn't make you any safer, and a national ID card doesn't make you any safer. It makes your freedom go away.
Well, God bless you, Tom DeWeese. We are behind you. Do not give up. You got a lot of support. It's tough out there, we know.
Yeah,
but keep at it.
We will do it.
Thank you for joining us. We really, really, really appreciate you, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, stay tuned. We have an encore presentation of The American Jury. Are we performing? Do jurors have a role in determining the legitimacy of the law? Stay tuned. And we'll come back and visit us next week on the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Program.